Spicer's gone.
Brad and Desi, always enjoy the Green News Report, and I think you're going to enjoy today's show. Not only do I have my fabulous co-host, D.R. Tucker, with me, at least for the first segment, in which we usually, well, almost always focus on some aspect of climate change, the great exacerbator of all ecological challenges, and we focus on the politics when we need to. But I also have two great stories. Really excited to talk to the founder of the Green Tea Coalition down in Georgia. We heard about them about a month ago when they launched. We're going to drill down and find out why Shane Al Greeson came to start this organization, along with Debbie Dooley, who we hope to have on the show next week as well. And then in the second half, we're going to find out why you may want to think twice before you grab that bottle of shampoo. Recent testing finds that dozens of brands of shampoo, soap, bubble bath, and other products, everyday products sold by your favorite stores, Walmart, Target, Babies R Us, etc., lots of other national retailers in the hot seat now for violating California law. Going to be speaking with one of the great people at the Center for Environmental Health about what you need to know. But first, we're going to really take a moment or two. Actually, we're going to take a good solid half the show to find out what's been going on down in Georgia. All kinds of interesting things developing with solar power, with some unholy alliances, with a group that, frankly, might have the Koch brothers shivering in their boots. Wouldn't that be nice? I like to think that, picture that anyway. So very pleased to welcome to the program, along with D.R. Tucker, Shane Al Greeson. Shane, I really appreciate your joining us on relatively short notice, but as you say, this has become your life. So you were made yourself available to really share what's been going on down there. Interesting developments, unholy alliances, unlikely bedfellows, all that, and you summarized the story for me before we started the show, and I want you to go ahead and share with our audience how this came to be.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It's certainly been interesting. I never thought that I would be involved in a movement. My intent in 2008 was to shift resources from some businesses that were primarily based in profiting from construction in the housing industry. And as things began to collapse and banks were no longer lending and loaning, my business partners and I went and acquired a small solar company out of Florida and began doing work up in western North Carolina. We took some of the first schools, solar, and a block of farmers in North Georgia and western North Carolina. And it was nice to be able to see, the early days of when the president came in, that we really thought there was going to be a nice run of solar and renewable energy across the southeast. And but the work I had been doing was in the TVA area, so the Tennessee Valley Authority, which is a quasi-government utility. And they had incentives and a program set up to bring on solar as well as purchase the renewable energy credits. And then I came a little south, closer to my home, and was going to take a number of private schools and public schools solar and hit the wall of a monopoly. We began receiving cease and desist letters from the attorneys for Georgia Power, and the EMCs were not cooperative either. And I didn't quite understand what was happening. I was in America, but there was not a free market, and I needed to learn a little bit more about it. And I was persistent, and I guess as an Aries, that's sort of what drives me. If someone tells me I can't do something, that I'll die till I do. And and we ended up finding out that in 1972, they passed a law, the Territorial Act of 1973 is what it's called, and that actually divided up territories and established monopolies. And the only ones who can sell electrons in those service areas are those designated monopolies. And so what you see happening in California or Arizona or Colorado and around the world with power purchase agreements, that is actually considered illegal in this state unless the off-taker is the utility and the utility only buys what they want to. So does that maybe give you a little bit of background? And then we immediately moved into trying to counter the misinformation. Georgia Power and a number of the commissioners were convinced that Georgia did not have enough sunshine for solar to work.
they should come to San Francisco where it's foggy and we have plenty of solar.
Yes, and you know, half the world's solar is installed in the you know, in Bavaria, the state in Germany, and they get roughly half of the sunshine, the you know, the solar radiation that Georgia does on an annual basis. Granted, you know, Germany prices are pretty high, and so we try not to raise the comparison too often. We also are not allowed to mention the word California in Georgia. Otherwise, you're seen as a liberal, and you'll be run out of the room. So being that we had misinformation that Georgia didn't have enough sunshine, that you know, one of the commissioners actually gave testimony in 2009, I believe. It might have been 2010, subject to check. But that we had greater wind resources than solar resources, which is not the case in Georgia. And they also, the company, Georgia Power, had convinced everyone that solar could not be deployed in any way without raising rates. So my business partners and I took on the challenge, and we actually, the project is being developed now. We developed a model that used economy of scale and some nuances that created a situation where we proved to the utility company and the Public Service Commission that we could indeed deploy solar farms in a way that caused no upward pressure on electric rates, so no one's electric bills would go up to bring on these resources. And but in the midst of doing that, we actually discovered there was ways that we could bring downward pressure. We were trying to satisfy the PPA market, which is the power purchase agreement market. That is typically investors that seek a rather high return. They typically see no less than 9, but they try to find somewhere in the 12 to 15% returns on investment. And that is a figure that's at an at-risk investment. And solar is not an at-risk investment. If the sun stops shining, then we've got bigger problems than the problem of the investment. And so we pushed and finally this year, after a lot of many years of hearing from commissioners that were not favorable, as well as Georgia Power and the right-wing media, which is quite entrenched in Georgia. We had the lead counsel from Troutman Sanders for Georgia Power stand before the Public Service Commission at the end of this IRP, this Integrated Resource Plan, which is a 20-year plan that Georgia Power has put out. They have to put it out every 3 years and update it every 3 years to show where we're moving in the next 20 years. They had left out all resources of solar, even though we had proven solar could bring downward pressure on electric rates. So understand that the 20-year plan satisfied investors. It did not satisfy the daytime peak energy cheaper from solar scenario that was available to ratepayers, not to mention the economic driver that is to rural Georgia, because you know, farmers would love to begin farming photons and creating revenue just like we did in TVA's area. And so Troutman Sanders' attorney stood before the Public Service Commission and admitted that everything that we had been saying for the last 5 years was true, and that it would not, that what we had proposed would not cause rates to go up. It would not compete with base load, and that it was in the best interest of ratepayers to proceed forward. So we actually, through the commissioner, Commissioner McDonald, a Republican, Commissioner Everett, a Republican, and Commissioner Eccles, a Republican, stood up and fought with us, along with the Tea Party, Right to Life, a Conservative Action Coalition, Sierra Club, Beyond Coal, you name it, from the left, from the right, from the center, from the tree huggers to whomever, were supporting our position, and we triple over the next 3 years the amount of solar in the state of Georgia, and it's done in a conservative way that the Tea Party can support. And that has now led to the Green Tea Coalition. So I never thought we would be here, but we had so many people supporting our efforts at the Public Service Commission, and we were being attacked vehemently by the Koch brothers and Americans for Prosperity. The Tea Party groups were quite surprised to find out that they weren't all, some of their friends weren't really Tea Party, that they were Teapertunists. They like to use the word Tea Party. They like to claim Tea Party, but in fact they promote Koch Industries issues. And so it's interesting. There was an evolution even amongst the Tea Party folks. But Does that give you a good background?
First of all, congratulations. I mean, that is a lot, but that you've just covered, you know, a lot of territory, a lot of years, a lot of work. So thank you for the very actually eloquent summary, and thank you for this incredible out-of-the-box, you know, success.
Thank you so much. We've had some really good growth just in the last couple of weeks. We've now not only finalized the coalition, but we officially have Sierra Club and several other large groups that are joining that coalition. There's been interest from D.C., so we actually have gone and met with a few folks with the administration, not saying that the Tea Party's capitulated in any way. We actually start every meeting off with "we agree virtually about nothing." However, on this one issue, where we can deploy solar in ways that benefit ratepayers in Georgia, customers in Georgia, then this we'll stay focused on like a laser. And all the other things we don't agree about, we can disagree about them the rest of the time, that day and beyond. But for that hour or two that we're working together and building this coalition, we focus on it like a laser.
I know DR is chomping at the bit to get in there.
Well, thank you so much for this amazing story and our true underdog story. You talk about the attacks that you've sustained from the Koch brothers' outfit, Americans for Depravity, as we call it, and the right-wing media. What do you make of this attack now on solar, most recently expressed by Fox News, this idea that they're pushing that somehow solar is a fire trap and it's somehow dangerous for firefighters and firefighters don't know how to manage it? And will we see members of the Green Tea Coalition start to push back against this sort of bizarre narrative, this sort of narrative that assumes that all firefighters are idiots that don't know how to put out a fire in a building that has solar on it?
You know, it's interesting. I actually have firefighters in my family. So the same discussions were going on about electric cars, because if there's an accident, obviously there's a different way of managing the entry into an electric car if there has been a significant accident that requires them to break into it and remove a person. They will deal with it. Anybody will deal with it. I cannot imagine that it is going to be so problematic that it's not something that firefighters can deal with. However, I didn't actually hear this until you've mentioned it. So that's a new one to me. It's not surprising. The lead counsel for Georgia Power stood before God and country and on the record saying that what we had proposed and what the commissioners were passing would not cause rates to go up. They are still having meetings across the state of Georgia, Americans for Prosperity, and this group called the Georgia Tea Party out of Cobb County, claiming that it was a mandate. And so I have a question for you guys. I know this is probably turning the tables, but if the Public Service Commission, who's been elected to regulate a monopoly, forces a monopoly to install solar across the state of Georgia because it's in the best interest of ratepayers and it lowers electric rates, is that a mandate or is that good policy?
I'd say it's good policy.
Right. So, you know, I would argue that, you know, even if they switch to number two pencils at the commission, it's a mandate. Everything they do is a mandate. So, but yes, they did use that. They use dog whistle words that get people riled up. They start foaming at the mouth. You know, there's certain words that they throw out, and it does cause the right, extreme right, and there's some words like this on the left too, that people know if they throw it out, they're going to get everyone's blood boiling. But there are some serious issues that we really haven't covered, and it's about the state of affairs in Georgia and why Georgia was sold to the utilities in 2011. So if you know, at some point during this, you know, let me know when it's appropriate to talk about it.
Okay, I just want to ask you, how much of your, you know, commitment and passion for solar and bringing solar power to your state has to do with concern about climate change, or is this strictly a business venture for you, or was it originally?
You know, for me personally, I do believe that we are a sphere floating through space, and it is not infinite, our atmosphere. And when we, are in record numbers raising CO2 levels, and we've now crossed over 400 parts per million, and we've got 98% of the world's scientists concluding very similar results from tests. And I was also at the Potsdam Institute last year. I got to spend a week with Chancellor Merkel's people in Berlin and went to Potsdam Institute where they have one of those supercomputers. And so for me personally, it is an issue and we do need to deal with it. But it is not where the Green Tea Coalition is coming from. Quite frankly, I do not know of a single Tea Party person who has joined the Green Tea Coalition or any of the Green Tea Coalitions that are springing up in other states and around our state and other cities that even mention climate change. Even the commissioners who voted for the solar did not focus on climate change. What we agreed upon was if we can do some solar right now in ways that actually lower people's electric bills, there is no reason why we shouldn't be doing that, period. And so the green people, the environmental people, they get all those positive externalities for free after we've pursued what's the best interest of ratepayers.
Hmm. And I appreciate that distinction and how you've had to couch it for success, or just maybe that's just a natural separation. But it was, in fact, that reluctance to mention or acknowledge climate change that got me to say we need a Green Tea Party when 30 representatives were elected to Congress, was it 2010? And mm-hmm. if any of them did mention climate change, it was to proclaim that they didn't believe it. And they were frothing at the mouth about taxes and big government, and I was frothing at the mouth in front of the TV, shouting at them, saying, you know, wake up and smell the carbon, people, and we need, you know, a campaign for those of us who are, quote, steamed, that they're playing politics with our one and only planet. So didn't really get off the ground, but have been talking about a Green Tea Party for years now. So I was, of course, you know, really interested to hear about the Green Tea Coalition and the Green Tea Party as you have envisioned it, and you know, really want to track what happens, because you've not only attracted national press, but you've also attracted some filmmakers that are coming your way next week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's true, and I have to give credit to two other people. Debbie Dooley with the Tea Party Patriots, one of the very first Tea Parties in the nation, as well as Robert Green, one of my business partners. We all formed the Green Tea Coalition together. So it's only fair that we recognize that it was a cooperative effort, and there's nothing that happened in Georgia that a single individual did. It took an effort of all. But yes, the movie is being filmed now. They've already interviewed with people like Bob Inglis with the Citizens Lobby climate, or what you tell me, what
Climate Lobby, CCL.
Yes. And they've also met with some other prominent folks in the administration and past administrations, all the way back to Reagan. And they'll be in Atlanta next week. So Tuesday next week at 12 o'clock, if any listeners are there, we would love to have as many people show up. If you've got miles, fly in for it. But at 12 o'clock noon at the state capitol, there on Washington Street, downtown Atlanta, next Tuesday, 17th, we will be revealing the Ratepayer Bill of Rights. And the Ratepayer Bill of Rights is... we see it as a document that would be applicable in any situation where customers are bound in some way to a utility and they do not control the choices in which affect their pocketbook or affect the energy in which they're consuming. And what we have here is a very unique situation in Georgia. The filmmakers felt it was very important to document this Green Tea Coalition. So this Ratepayer Bill of Rights will be central to that. And then we'll also be going to see a school that my business partners put together. It's the very first school to go solar in Georgia. It's Dublin High School in Dublin, Georgia. And it actually used a contract that circumvents the Territorial Act of 1973 so that the school could enter into a third-party agreement and go solar. So that was the very first one to be done in the history of the state. And then we'll also be meeting with farmers in South Georgia and from North Georgia that are desperate to have revenues. They have Georgia power lines running through their properties. They have land. and the industrial food businesses are quite frankly running these small farmers out of business. Some farming photons and, you know, turning photons into electricity and getting some revenues would really help them pay their taxes and keep their farms.
Mm. You talked for a few moments ago about the power of the utilities in Georgia and the sort of resistance and sort of political manipulation they engaged in to obtain so much power. Can you talk a bit more about that? And because that is one of the sort of things that's going on all throughout the country, and the great Peter Sinclair of ClimateCrocs.com is written about this, how the major utility companies all across the country are just really nervous about the solar revolution. So can you tell us how it's gone in Georgia and how basically the utility companies are not liking the sort of upstart in terms of the energy industry?
Sure. And I have to admit, I know Georgia and I know the Southeast well, and the things that I will mention here may or may not be applicable in the states in which people are in, but I encourage everybody to investigate and get involved, because it's as interesting as any movie you've ever read or watched or a book you've ever read when you start looking at how energy policy operates in your state. So I'll just but here in this state, I will give it to Georgia Power. They're a well-run utility. We have virtually no blackouts or brownouts, and they've always done well for our state. But there is an issue that has occurred, and it's called technology. There was a time when we needed and required an approach to bringing electricity to customers equitably, but also to rural parts of states. And that was best served through aggregated liability, or what we could call a monopoly. And those monopolies, for better or for worse, have always been guaranteed profits, protections from losses, and the ability to grow. And for investor-owned utilities like Georgia Power and their parent company, Southern Company, that has the entire Southeast as their footprint. So when we talk about Georgia, we're really talking about Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and, you know, we can start pulling northern Florida. We can actually start seeing that when you look at a map of solar development, you see, you know, this anomaly of the Southeast where there just isn't much going on. It's not the sun. It's the politics. And so in 2011 in Georgia, Don Balfour, Senator Balfour, one of Georgia's I have to admit, I don't know Mr. Balfour, and I do not know his politics, but apparently one of the most corrupt that we have. I don't know this for a fact, so subject to check, but brought forth a Senate Bill 160, and it passed. The governor signed it on May 12, 2011, which said that since Citizens United gave corporations the ability to give endlessly, and money was speech, and corporations are now people, that regulated industries should have the same rights. I have a problem with this, and I think the entire world should have a problem with this. A number of the reports that came out during this time was that Georgia had sold itself off to the utilities on May 2nd when the governor signed the bill. This is the reason we know now it is incredibly problematic. Georgia Power participates in a state PAC. In that state PAC, their executives can give to the PAC to influence the legislature directly, as well as Georgia Power giving to the legislature directly. But the PAC donations from the executives are like $807.12, $218.31, $609.10. You don't get political donations in these type of cents figures unless the actual donations are percentages of salaries or pay. So we now have operational expenses that increase. In other words, the company spends more to operate. Executives get paid more. They donate. The company gets guaranteed to recoup that. It becomes a rate case. And so what's happened is ratepayers in Georgia, customers of Georgia Power, are subsidizing the lobbying that's actually undermining their best interests.
I'm glad you got to that point. You have a lot of information, great information, Shane, and in our pre-interview you mentioned that, and that really kind of says it all, doesn't it?
It's horrific. It really is.
Yes, it is, and it's truly an amazing story. And we definitely admire you, and definitely admire Debbie, and some of the efforts, and all of the efforts actually of the Green Tea Coalition.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really do. I mean, if anybody who's listening, if you know people in Atlanta, if you know people who know people in Atlanta, I would love this movie to capture a moment in time where the utility really does shake from the ground up, because the Ratepayer Bill of Rights deals with this subsidizing lobbying of the utility to circumvent, you know, the interest of the ratepayer. It deals with on-site generation of solar. And I have to admit, technology has delivered us an opportunity for us to self-generate some of our power at a cheaper rate than the utility can provide it. And guess what? What happens when you make a payment on solar? You're paying it towards an asset that's paid off versus paying to the utility. It never ends.
Hmm. And since this is 9/11, and since our involvement in Iraq and that whole, you know, mess that we're still feeling the impacts of had something to do with our thirst for oil, I think it's appropriate that we talk about the facts behind renewable energy and solar as, you know, something really that needs to get out there, the facts, that is, much more widely and loudly than they have, and I appreciate you for what you're doing there. I just want to ask you, with grassroots effort coming from the left and the right coming together in this, quote, unholy alliance, as Debbie Dooley called it, and we're hoping to have her on the show next week, what happens when you mention, I wonder if you have mentioned the idea of a revenue-neutral carbon fee, or dare I say tax, or dare did you dare say tax?
You know, I avoid tax like the plague, but I have to say, you know, there are interesting things. You know, people like to say no one wants taxes, but they seem to not raise an eyebrow when the right pushes for fees. So Georgia Power likes to say we have the cheapest rates. They claim that we have 11.5 cents basically on a retail rate, but you can't buy a single one of those kilowatt hours at 11.5 cents without paying about 3.5 cents of fees. So we really have 14-cent electricity for residential customers in Georgia. But they get to define reality. So, yes, we basically met with Bob Inglis as well as the climate change lobby. And, you know, we listened, and I had Tea Party people there, and I was there, and we had some people from the left there, and, you know, all full spectrum of the coalition. And the Tea Party people went crazy in a hostile way, but I'm not saying this bad against the Tea Party. I'm just saying that the words the selected were dog whistle words that actually riled them up. And so, once it was all over, we started to rephrase, relook, reapproach, use words that are actually making sure that this carbon, this revenue neutral carbon tax, is pursued in the best interest of ratepayers. And if indeed this is better for consumers and gives them more choice and allows them to make better choices, that is actually a good thing. So Bob Inglis and some of the leaders of that, we're going to be working with them over the next couple of months to help them, you know, refine some of the language. And maybe the Green Tea Coalition can be helpful in even making some changes to the program so that conservatives can be fully on board.
So I guess before you can talk about a revenue-neutral carbon tax, you need to talk about a rhetoric-neutral carbon fee.
Very, very good point. Very good point. Yes, and you know we all have a goal, and we don't always see the same path, but we always typically have the end same goal. So we, you know, it's just how we get there, and you know, it's interesting. It really is. It's going to be a fun exercise, and I look forward to you know, learning more about coalition building, because I, you know, this isn't my forte, and it just came out of necessity. Well, they say the mother of all invention is, you know, the greatest of necessity. So,
rhetoric neutral. Okay, DR.
Yes.
You got the last question.
Well, not so much of a question, but just an observation that I definitely hope that you guys can figure out the sort of the rhetoric, because certainly if there's one thing that would boost a clean energy in this country, it would be a revenue-neutral carbon fee to sort of induce the private sector to sort of expand clean energy and reduce emissions in the process and create jobs in the process.
You know, that is true, but one thing I have to say, it's so entrenched. The system that is established now is so entrenched with money and with power. And it is not the party, it is the power. I can assure you Georgia Power is giving just as much to the Democrats a few years ago when they were in control. And so the related transactions of the utilities, you know, the Southern Company owns the train cars that brings the coal down from West Virginia. You know, when you start looking at the buddy relationships with groups like J.P. Morgan, and you start looking at, you know, Koch Industries monies from coal and natural gas, we have a fight, and it's not resource. It is not really the best interest as much as it's people who have power and do not intend on losing it.
Speaking of that, I have to say, yeah. Shane Al Greeson, founder of Georgia Solar Utilities, why don't you go for some political power, run for office? You are extremely knowledgeable and neutral on things that count, you know, and can speak to both sides. I would love to see you in some position in Georgia that could have a positive influence on bringing more renewable power, not only to Georgia, but the whole South and the rest of the country, for that matter. You've really got a model here that just could make a difference.
You know, I have to say, I admire politicians because they put their entire life out there. And they do end up being splattered on headlines, and yet their retractions are on page 10. I think I'm more effective by not being bound to either a party or a position that you have to toe the line. I would rather just stick to facts and fight with the people. If at some point in the future I could be helpful, you know, I would consider it only if it was a better choice for the ultimate cause. And, you know, and even though I'm pursuing what's in the best interest of ratepayers, what we're all doing is just building a fair market so that ratepayers can implement solar if it's truly in their best interest.
Okay, we're running out of time, so I just want to ask if you can share a website if people have heard some of this or all this interview and want to learn more about your work. Where can they find it?
Yeah, most everything is social media nowadays. So there's Twitter and there's Facebook. There's the Green Tea Coalition on Facebook. There were two, and we actually acquired another Facebook page. So it's the better of the two. I don't know which one distinguishes the other. Same Green Tea Coalition on Twitter and greenteacoalition.org. The website is being finalized now. It should be live Tuesday when we implement the Ratepayer Bill of Rights. The web page goes live at the same time. And I can say this, too. I have never been in a position to indicate that we would ever accept monies from others. We've always paid it out of pocket and fought from our own dime. But we did set this up as a C4, and there's a C3 that's being formed now as well called the Green Tea Grassroots. So it sets up roots and roots out the problems. So there's a C3, C4, and so if anybody wants to offer support, we need it. A $50 billion corporation has acquired the state of Georgia, and I believe as goes Georgia, as goes the Southeast.
And on that note, DR, just any last parting thought?
Well, best of luck to you, Shane, and keep up the great green work, as Betsy might say.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
And by the way, I just released the URL for Green Tea America's Green Tea Party, so go for it.
And maybe we you need to form together. A Green Tea Coalition. We'll come out. We'll have a nice cup of green tea. We'll start it out there in California.
Sounds perfect. Okay, so we really appreciate your time, and we're going to take a quick break and come back and find out why you might want to think twice before you reach for that shampoo bottle in your shower. Thanks for joining us, DR.
Thanks.
Be right back. Oh, yes, it could. And we are going to shift from Green Tea Coalition.